everyone, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions, and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests, Mary Holland, Bob Dassey, and Kimia Bipornia.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That's me. I probably sound like I'm a little discombobulated, even though I can say that word. But Mary, Kimia, Bob, welcome to the show. As you know, we were in a pre-show green room discussion. It's really where you warm up, really, in a way.
Yeah.
We haven't seen each other for a while, and also, you know, you're getting your comedy going. You're trading stories. And someone was telling a great story, and it was cut off so abruptly, I can't even remember who it was. But someone was like, at that moment in the story, we were like, this is where the story pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett shut down the Zoom.
It's so shocking. You do feel like you've been thrown out. Like there's like a feeling of
you just cold water.
Yes, everybody's face disappears, and you just get a message that says this meeting was ended. And it's very.
I hope it said ended by Brett Morris.
It said ended by host, but we all know who the host was. You know,
it's never a slow fade.
Hard out. Hard out.
5 minutes, guys. Hey guys, welcome to party. Sorry. Yeah, enjoy your drinks just for a second. We're trying this new thing today where it's just kind of a theme where I've hired what I call judges to just mill about at the party, and he will be shutting down. I've invited exactly 100 people here tonight. He will be shutting down 5%. That's 5 out of the 100 people. And by shutting you down, that means if your conversation isn't worthy, you will be shut down and dismissed from the party.
But Matt, this is our anniversary party.
Sweetie, I really doubt you will get shut down.
What? There's a chance?
Come on. You're the belle of the ball. You're not going to get shut down.
I'm sorry.
Don't shut her down now, folks. Don't judge her now.
This sounds like an argument. I'm going to have to shut this one down.
No.
This is a party.
No. Wait, excuse me.
She didn't know. We're just establishing the rules right now, judges. Okay, that's one of the judges. You can see that he's wearing an orange vest.
Yeah, I can tell. Yes, and he's got a gavel. I see.
It's part of my thing.
Yeah. We never agreed on what are you going to hit? The floor?
I'm going to hit whatever I need to make sure that my rules get, you know, listened to.
The gavel base. Well, anyway, he's just going to be his milling about. He's judging all conversations fairly. But if your story gets shut down, you do need to leave immediately. The rest of the 95 people, enjoy the party.
Okay. Are we going to need to know any more ground rules? I have been practicing conversation topics because I have a lot of anxiety. So this is actually my first time out at a party in a while, and it would really be detrimental to me.
Well, you're prepared. Okay. We'll just start with your story, and everyone grab drinks and be natural to start a story.
Everybody, please enjoy yourselves. And I'm just hoping this doesn't put a huge damper on the party.
Just don't get shut down. Just try to be interesting. That's all.
Hello, and nice to see you. It's been a while.
Hi, yeah, so good to see you too. How have you been?
Oh, this doesn't start good.
I've been well. You know, actually, I haven't been out in a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sir, would you stop? You're breathing on my neck. Stand over there if you're.
There's 100 people here. I have to get close so I can hear you.
Well, go listen to
somebody else. Yeah.
This is really potentially a great starting point. One of you are going to be tossed from this party. I could tell. Just keep going.
Go ahead, Sandra.
Social.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really excited that to be here at your anniversary to celebrate you guys. Yeah. It's been a really long time, you know?
It has. I feel like the last time I saw you, Sandra, you were about to do... You were about to go to Australia?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I was headed to the outback.
Steakhouse, listen, I'm going to have to help this along a little bit. You're going to have to cut to the chase. Did you see any wallaby? What's going on? I don't want to slow roll into this thing. There's 100 people here. I got to make the mingles. I got to round this place around and see what's going on. And you're giving me nothing.
Okay, yes. Well, it was sort of my Eat, Pray, Love tour through Australia. It was to build myself up because I had been so down before. And I did. I trekked across. I saw a bunch of animals and I ate a great food. And that's about it.
You ate a great food? Did you build yourself up?
I did. But now I feel the pressure to speed through my story. I really had a lot more of it to tell.
I'm going to have to pull Jimmy in here. Jimmy, would you come on over here? I gotta have a ruling on this.
That's my fantasy football strategy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I need a ruling on this. This Australia story is seeming to be, generic.
I did a bad job because I was nervous.
She's nervous. You're putting pressure on her. This is my cousin Sandra. I'm not letting her get kicked out of this party, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay,
of course.
I told you extended family might not fit into the party, but okay. But Sandra, what happened in Australia? Like, besides you just going there?
She ate food, apparently.
Oh, great. Did you drink water?
She ate food.
And she saw animals. I mean, we didn't even get most of her story because
I was scared.
Cut her off.
Just cut me right off.
Is there a story there, though, is what I want to know. Is there, if we really peel it back?
Is your story from this party that you saw a dog?
What?
Seeing animals in a place seems to...
Oh, very funny. Okay.
I'm going to have your car pulled up in front just to get prepped. Yeah, just give me your valet ticket. We're going to just get one on standby to make sure that we can usher this along if need be. Because you're right on the edge right now.
Here's my ticket. Well, look, I didn't think I was here at the Moth. I thought we were having conversations, not just
telling
stories.
We do have several people from the Moth here, by the way.
So. I was wondering who those people were. We don't know those people.
What? They're bearing their soul over there. Matt, interesting way.
Oh, my God.
You tell delightful stories with humorous undertones. And here
I just want to celebrate my anniversary with my friends and my family. And conversations don't have to be, you know, Moth-level stories to be interesting.
I don't know, right? What do you think about that? Because you've made it very clear that you want us to have some interesting people.
Yeah.
And right now we're getting flatlined.
Look, she didn't have to. I don't expect someone like Sandra to have a Moth level experience in her life to have a Moth level story. But if that's where I was at, which I'm not, I have several experiences on my rendezvous through Europe. But if I was like Sandra going to Australia and just eating a food, I don't know. Maybe I'd get some cool NPR sound effects to back me up, you know? Beef up the story. Keep me listening. That would be me, Sandra. I don't know. But I think you're just lucky you're not getting shut the fuck down.
I do feel lucky and yet still upset to be at this party. I almost want to leave and shut myself down the way this party's going.
Well, your car's out front, so you're welcome to.
No, Sandra, don't go.
I think I will go. I absolutely will go. And you know what? This was my first time out, and I don't think I'll go out again. I'm going back in, and I'm never going to another social engagement ever again.
Gosh. Don't forget to tip the valet.
This will be a good story at another party.
Great. Great.
There she
99.
Goes.
She's gone.
All right. Now she we got the only four left. Four left. So four lucky
God.
But come on, sweetie.
How much did you pay for this? How much did you pay? How much are you paying these men?
It's like $25,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. my God.
What? These guys have been on reality shows in Sweden. They're hosts from reality shows in like Sweden or Norway. I forget.
It's right in the middle. Finland.
Oh, sorry. No disrespect.
Oh, my sorry. God. $25,000?
Yeah, Euros. Whatever it is.
Euros. Yeah, Euros? Oh, my God. I'm going to throw up. That's so much money, Matt.
But isn't it a good story?
No. The story's
you
just
won't
how
get
we
shut down.
We lot. It's just going to be a story about how we're now so far in debt that we have to freaking sell our house.
Hey, riveting.
Shut her down.
What?
I'm listening. This is. Are you on? What was that?
Nothing.
Okay. No, go on. Tell me how much you're in debt. Do you have a valet ticket?
She lives here.
No, I live here. Mm.
You want to go out in the garage?
Do I want to go to the garage?
Well, that's not a proposition. I'm asking if you want to leave the party and sit in the car in the garage.
No, I don't want to do that.
All right. Well, then I'm going to have to throw you out. I'm going to have to shut you down.
No. Hey.
Shut down.
Let go.
Shut down.
Hey. Take her away. Take her away.
Your best story.
Okay, I think I should probably air this Thanksgiving week, Brett. So, let's look back in our own memories. What's a funny, perhaps just awkward memory of a family gathering? Doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. Would anyone like to share that or have one of those?
I'm just going to throw this out because for Thanksgiving, we were supposed to go to Berlin this year. We were going, I don't know if you're familiar with Norse Airlines. Not many people are.
Nope. No.
And here's why you don't know about them. Okay. They were a new low-cost airline that was flying direct from New York to Berlin and LA to Berlin. And so we're like, so it's a direct flight. So we had made plans to go to Germany to Berlin in Germany. And 2 months before the flight, we just got a email saying, your flight has been canceled. For no reason. I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. Berlin's got a lot of interesting things, or Germany's got a lot of interesting things going on right now with like inflation and whatnot. But they just canceled the flight from LAX to Berlin. And 2 months out, you really can't, and everything's really expensive. Yeah. So we were just screwed. So we're not going to Berlin for Thanksgiving. It's probably all for the best because of how Germany's doing right now with their inflation and with the gas and with the war next door and whatnot. So we might've dodged a bullet.
Right.
But that was the first time we ever just got like, hey, that flight you were going on, it doesn't exist anymore. Good luck. They did refund our money, which was nice.
Oh, that's good.
But we took some, took a little on the Airbnb and that kind of shit.
And then you had to still see family because you couldn't leave town. You had to stay here and see everybody. Yeah.
Now we have no excuse.
That's right.
Oh, wait, maybe we won't just tell anybody and just lay low.
That's something my cousins do because they always try to avoid coming to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. My parents host the Thanksgivings and then they just book trips that always are over Thanksgiving. And they're like, we're out of town. Sorry. They just really don't want to be there.
We cut to LAX where all those airline check-ins are right next to each other. We see Norse Airlines. Next in line, stop up, please.
Oh, hi, yeah. I'm going directly to Berlin.
Okay, now most of our customers are. And I'll need your ID.
Here you go.
And I don't need your ticket number because we have some news.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I love good news. Did you say good news?
Well, it is a good news, bad news situation, which is always fun for me.
You got the face of a guy who likes to deliver bad news.
What? Don't say that. We're very sensitive about those stereotypes.
Sorry, guy.
Anyway, the bad news, I'll just get to that. It's probably the most pertinent is...
I've been looking forward to this flight for several years. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, so lots of people, they've had trips planned through the pandemic, and it's like, mm-hmm. finally, I get to go somewhere, and
yes.
this is it.
Yes!
You're and so we upset. Had that big ad campaign, too, that made the point.
It really, really got to
in.
Me. Let's go. All right, here we go. What's the bad
all right.
bad news? Did my seat change? That's all right. I guess it's by a window.
Well, you won't have to worry about a bad seat, because we don't have any seats anymore. Because we don't have any airlines anymore. Because we're not officially an airline anymore. We're still Norse Airlines. That's still the name of the company. We don't have airlines anymore. We can't get you to Berlin. That is all the bad news. Good news, we still have our lounge. We have the 5-star lounge. Uh-huh. We can still take care of your bags up until the time when you were supposed to leave. And it's the first drink is free.
Okay. Can we go back to this?
If your flight is delayed, you get a second drink free, but there are no flights, so that won't happen. But that's still a policy.
All right. Can we go back to this plane situation? Are you saying that you're not an airline anymore?
Yeah, we've pivoted.
Pivoted?
We did a pivot. A little pivot.
A little pivot. This just sounds like a big pivot. You have no planes? You're just renting space in the airport so you can have a lounge?
We still have the same hospitality.
Hello. Oh. Would you like a coffee?
I sure would.
She's one would of the like former flight attendants that we still have. We still deliver the same service that we had on the plane. It's just at the airport.
The exits are behind you and to your side.
Okay. I know how to get in and out of the airport. I was just wondering if I can get in and out of a plane.
I can get, Berlin. Would you like a coffee?
I said, yeah.
You did?
I mean, I answered you the first time. You looked directly in my eyes.
Would you like a coffee?
Nah, now I'm starting
your
to think.
Sugar? Milk?
I think you only know how to speak English, but you don't know how to understand English. Is that what I'm getting? Because that's what happened to me in France once. I went there and I learned a bunch of phrases and I, you know, I asked for bread and then they started talking to me. I didn't know what they were saying.
Where's the restroom?
Well, that's a question. You're supposed to help me. Wait a minute. So now you got these second rate flight attendants just walking around.
Oh, sir, please.
I'm sorry. She doesn't know where the bathrooms are.
She's not used to being on the ground.
I get it. All right. I see.
Whoa, right. This is a long flight. What a big airplane this is.
Okay.
She's very disoriented right now.
I can tell. I guess she didn't make the pivot with the rest of you. Well, I guess we could talk about how I'm going to get out of this airport now. I mean, listen.
Would you like us to take your bags? We can still check your bags. They just won't go to Berlin. They just will go to our lounge.
Your 5-star lounge where I get one drink free?
Yes. But we have nice steaks there, nice London broil, a thick London broil with a martini. A lot of people just come here for that. We're more of a restaurant than an airport now.
If I ever come to the airport just for the restaurant, put a bullet in my head, okay? I'm not a fool.
Is that some American aphorism?
I know. It means I don't want to come to the airport for a sandwich. I want to take a flight. I was here
I
for
said
a flight.
Full London broil, sir.
I know, a London broil. I know. It's a sandwich. But that kind of meat's got no fat on it. It's dry. And if it's cooked wrong, it's terrible. Look, you're offering me second-rate flight attendants, second-rate slices of meat, and no flight. This is your pivoting has gone terribly wrong.
I'm can just going to check your bag. I've got your bag. I'm going to take it and get it checked.
Oh, you're going to take it over to the lounge?
Yes, it'll be in the lounge, and you can come pick it up anytime, but I will have your bag. I have taken your bag.
Yeah, well, I can't take it. I can't stop you because you look like you're really running with it.
Right?
But listen,
I'm fast.
I gotta ask here, where did this 5-star rating come from exactly? Like, who gave you 5 stars? Because you can say 5-star anything. Michelin tires.
Yes.
Not the Michelin book, but the Michelin tires. Like, so the gas station told you it's a 5-star? Listen, this is unacceptable.
Company.
This is unacceptable. Your whole country has let me down. I'm going to go on Twitter and...
That's why we did this. Every time, we don't even want you in our country.
Well, that's abundantly clear. All right, well, you with my bag. Let's just take it over. I'm going to have this drink. I'm going to have two London broils. I'm gonna make a sandwich out of them just to prove you can eat a sandwich with London broil. And then I'm going
to cut to this guy, and he's got two London broils. He has a piece of bread in between two London broils.
No, it's called a reverse sandwich. That's like an open sandwich, except for it's reverse. Boy, this is a tough piece of meat. Can I have my free drink? I'm going to give me one of those.
Would you like a coffee?
Oh, you're back. There you are.
Hello.
Yeah. Can I have a coffee, please?
Would you like a coffee or would you like, where is the restroom?
Okay, we're getting somewhere. All right, listen, I need a drink of water.
Black 712 has been moved from gate A14 to A72.
But it does not exist. That's quite a difference.
Yeah, if I had a plane, that would make a difference to me. But apparently, I'm just sitting in this lovely lounge having a dry piece of meat.
Sir, I'm going to move your bag to the new gate, okay? But don't worry, I run very fast.
I don't. I got a bum knee. Listen, you're going to move it to gate 72? I'm never going to get there in time. Well, in time for what? Nothing's leaving.
What the fuck is going on?
I have lots of things to talk about, but I ask you guys again. Well, let's just, we're in Thanksgiving. Mary had her first Halloween of giving candy, right?
That's right.
And doing a theme outside and letting people know we're on.
We're on. Halloween is a go.
I was going to ask, did you do the thing where you set up a table outside? It seems like people are doing now.
No.
I said, did she do the table? Okay. Did she do the porch or the ding dong?
We did the ding dong. And I like the ding dong. Oh, it was so exciting. Oh. Well, what was thrilling was it's our first Halloween in this neighborhood. And so we had asked our neighbor, like, what can we expect trick or treater wise? Are we looking at how many people come through? And she was like, none, nobody comes through. And it's because, like you were saying, Matt, there's specific neighborhoods and streets where it's like you do all your trick or treating there and you don't just wander around random neighborhoods, which, like, when I was growing up, that's all, we just went down the street.
Yeah.
Like,
your own street.
Yeah, exactly. But so we were like, hopefully we'll get a few, but maybe we won't get any. And then we were just hanging out and I was in the kitchen and Matt was somewhere else in the house. And then I heard the most gentle little knock at the door. And I was like, did someone knock?
See, that's spooky.
And also our porch light doesn't work. So we just had like our spooky little lights out there and Matt had a fog machine going and like scary sounds and stuff. And so I opened the door and there's this kid and he could not have been standing closer to the door. It was like his face was right where the door was. Funny. And he was like, trick or treat. And it was him and he had two, I assume they were his sisters with him. And but it was so exciting. I was like, let me get the candy. I didn't even have the candy by the front door. Like an idiot.
Oh, no.
Man.
Okay, it's your first Halloween. You're getting used to it.
Thank you. Well, and I have an etiquette
question. Come in. I don't have my candy. Let me close the door. Sit down. I don't have my candy.
Here's an etiquette question.
Yes.
Do you let the kid grab their own candy or do you put the candy in the kid's bag? And I know this is complicated because of the pandemic.
I got a lot of answers to this, Mary.
Okay, great.
Good.
And like Brett said, I think the table thing, I'd like to know when that hit our culture, but there are many reasons for why it's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I hearken back to the 70s before you were born, young ladies. But we would walk house to house on your own block. And odds were there were, as you would call it, the dark house, the house the lights off, which probably had the old people in it, like too old to deal in their 80s or whatever. So that house is dark. You left them alone. But every other house had a candy or whatever. But these days, it is, you go to a certain neighborhood who's doing it up, and every house, you drive to that neighborhood, and every Silver Lake probably has one, Glendale probably has one, whatever, every Valley Village, they all have that neighborhood. But if you're not in that neighborhood, because we were walking up to that neighborhood last night, and Sydney thought, we're here, where we want to be. And I'm like, we're not there yet. But we see these houses, and you're like, is that a house that wants us to come up, or is it not? Mm. And we saw one where we thought, like, I think that is. And Sydney approached it like we were robbing the place. Like, she, like, she was scared walking up to the door because you couldn't tell. Like, at your house, you got the sounds on. Yes, you got a fog machine. Yeah. You're making it very clear. Yeah. But this, it might have been like there was an orange light. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could ring their doorbell and someone go, what the fuck do you
or worse. And is that what happened?
No. We told her to go up because I could, it was more an orange light. But it wasn't what we walked to two blocks later where it was just a big, like a street fair. Mm-hmm.
To me, I kind of liked that it was like a lottery. You know, as a kid.
Right, like, right, right.
It was sort of fun every once in a while getting like the grouchy old people that yelled at you. And then the next house could have the full size candy bars. You just had no idea.
Yeah.
But back to Mary's question. On these neighborhoods that do it up, everybody has their own rules, but they will state the rules as you go up there. Like, everybody take one or take three, or there'll be different piles. Like, hilariously, it'll be like pencils,
pencils,
fruit, candy. Like, I have to tell Sydney, please don't mock the pencil pile until you're a house away.
If somebody handed me a pencil on Halloween, I'd turn right around and stab them with it. There you go. How dare you? That's
all right, let's be kids outside on the sidewalk as they're. All right. Ooh. Did we do this one last year? I can't remember.
I don't know. Yeah.
It looks dark.
It's really hard to see. Maybe this is a house. Maybe it's got the old people in it and we shouldn't bother them.
I feel like I see a light.
It's a theme.
You see a light?
That's the faintest. It's got to be something. We should try.
My mom and dad said that these people don't have kids anymore, so they don't celebrate Halloween.
Oh, you've got insider info.
Whoa, yeah, they don't have kids anymore?
Some adults are done with it as soon as their kids don't believe in Halloween or Santa.
Well, I would go up to it. I would, but my butt.
What? Something wrong with your butt?
Yeah, my butt is hurting. Someone else should probably go and knock because my butt hurts too much.
Should we take you home?
No, it's probably temporary, but just in this moment, I can't go up to the house. So,
all right.
Butt hurt before? Has butt hurt been a thing? Did you get cramps in your butt?
Hemorrhoids?
Yeah, it's
probably eating
kind
too
of
much
like,
candy.
Well, it's just in my right side. It's in my right butt.
I think you should choose fruit if that's available tonight. Or erasers.
Yeah.
Leave the candy to us. All right, let's, Mary.
Well, I can't go because of my butt.
Right.
Maybe you should go since you don't want to go.
That's a great, great thought.
That's not a great thought. Well, I'm not going on my own. Why don't all four of us go then?
Okay.
Nope. All right.
I guess so.
I'm not scared. Halloween's supposed to be scary, but I'm not scared of things. I've seen so many movies. I know what death looks like. It's bloody most of the time, unless it's suffocation. Then it's just quiet. Anyway, let's get up there.
It's not still in confidence. Oh, there's a little sign that says, do not ring doorbell. I guess we're supposed to knock.
Yeah, supposed to knock instead. Well, I'll just be waiting out on the street, I guess.
Because of your butt.
Get your painful butt up here. We're a team.
Come on, Mary. You had the thickest knuckles. You knock.
Stop telling people that.
What?
Okay, fine. I'll knock.
Wow. You really put it.
Well, it takes a lot of effort. My knuckles are huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who the fuck is that?
Oh, they're home.
Oh,
oh, good.
He sounds mad.
No, I think he was doing like a impression of like a villain from a horror movie or something.
He sounds excited. Maybe he's got real big candy bars he wants to get rid of.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Excuse me. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Go the fuck away.
Tricks or treats. We know you're in there. Now you gotta come up.
Yeah, you gotta, because you've heard us.
We heard you and you heard us.
That's
Is that
right.
The Shining?
Oh.
Oh, that's a good call. Good call. Let's see if he axes through the door.
Get off my property or I'm going to fucking kill all of you.
That doesn't sound like Scatman Brothers.
No. That sounds more like a more modern slasher film.
Mm-hmm. Get the fuck off my property.
Get the fuck off my property. I'm going to kill you. Is that Clint Eastwood movie?
El Dorado? You know
Gran Torino?
El Torino.
Gran Torino?
El Torino?
Something like that.
Is it El Torino?
Are you Gran Torino?
Is this Clint Eastwood's house?
Clint Eastwood is my favorite director, but no!
It's favorite.
No candy! I don't believe in Halloween! Get the fuck off my property! Or I'll fucking get my shotgun!
This is a nightmare before Christmas. Believe in Halloween.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
He loves Christmas!
And hates Halloween.
This is Halloween dialogue.
This is Halloween.
This is before he worked with Disney.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He's a little
good
bit
call.
More, you know.
Good call.
Well,
ask him.
Cutting edge.
Ask him.
Yeah, he's probably trying to find a lot of people. They don't have the candy available and they have to go get the candy from another part of the house. That's probably what he's doing.
Oh, that's probably what he's doing.
Otherwise, sure. He'd open the door by now, I assume.
You know, this might be a situation where we got to do a trick instead of get a treat. You know,
Had to do that. I've only ever gotten treats.
You know, when it first started, people would burn down each other's houses. That's what the trick was.
That's not real.
Do we do the trick or they do the trick?
We do the trick. We burn down their house because they don't give us candy. It's accepted by law.
So you're saying we should burn this person's house down with them in it?
I am suggesting that history shows sometimes the tricks need to be aggressive.
I'm on board with this. I really am. It just doesn't sound so tricky. It just sounds like a straight up just crime. You know what?
It's just arson.
You know what's tricky is putting out that fire once it starts. So
Okay.
Well, I would start the fire, but oh no.
Oh no.
What? My butt.
Your butt.
Oh, boy.
Now it's the inside.
The inside of your butt. You should go home.
I assume that's what it was.
It's the inside of my butt.
Inside of your butt.
Terrible excuse.
I can't. Anyway, the point is, I can't do this trick.
Too late. Okay. Jack-o'-lantern from the house next door gets busted on the porch. Immediate flames. As on the porch, on the all wooden porch, as the man opens the door with giant candy bars in his hands. It was Nightmare Before Elm Street.
Candy.
Oh, I told you it was tricky to put out this fire. Look at him go.
Oh, the Nightmare Before Elm Street. I should have known.
We should have known.
We cut to that girl doing my favorite part of Halloween, the sorting of the candy at the end of the night with her parents. Oh, what did you get?
Okay, well, I got
not too many of those hard candies.
No. I did get a lot of Butterfingers, though. And then, here's some ashes of a strange man who...
What was that?
Butterfingers.
Okay.
Not the Butterfingers, those ashy fingers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the ashy fingers of a strange man.
That was not a funny pun, young lady. That was a serious question.
Where
did these ashy fingers come from?
Okay. We didn't know if this guy had candy or not. And so we did a tricky. We pulled a trick.
You pulled the trick?
Well,
they're supposed to pull the
trick. They're supposed to either trick you or give you a little candy, as history shows, by law.
Okay, because my friend Bob said that we could just set houses on fire, and so that's what we did. And the man burned right in front of us. It was really scary. But he had full-size candy.
We told you, honey, Bob died last year on Halloween. Sweetie pie, Bob died last year.
Bob died last year. You keep talking about Bob.
But Bob, we were just... Sweetie. Together, it was me and it was Bob and it was Natalie. And
Natalie died last year, sweetie.
Oh, and it was Clark. Clark was there.
She died 2 years ago.
Yes.
What happened to my friends? Why did they all die?
We live in your butt.
Oh!
Let's talk some more about that.
Okay, speaking of haunted and spooky, and the word spooky. So, Brett, I was really happy with our Predator episode. Our post-game press conference of Predator coming to Earth and being defeated by a young Earthling. I loved our but it got me thinking... Do you put Predator, it defies category Predator. Because you could say monster movie, you could say action movie, sci-fi movie, horror movie.
Yeah.
It has so many genres it can be in. The last one was the scariest, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Prey.
Scott.
I recommend it.
Oh, the one, the latest one. The one about the Native American.
The latest one. But why I brought it up is Earwolf, in promoting it, I asked, they promoted it on Halloween. They promoted it as being spooky. Spooky. You can't apply spooky.
If you're being hunted, that's not spooky.
That's not spooky.
Because spooky sounds so like whimsical, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Like, Hocus Pocus is spooky. It's spooky.
Yeah. So spooky almost sounds like it's ironic.
Hmm.
Well, I'm asking. Like I used the word earlier when you said a little boy knocked lightly on your front door. I said that was spooky.
Yeah.
Maybe I actually meant creepy, but it's more spooky than predator.
Spooky is like a black cat running across your path or like in the middle of the night with a full moon.
Yeah. It's like slightly
eerie. Well, is this a ghost and it's specifically something that's supposed to have to do with something haunting?
Oh, I don't know. I think nowadays... You say spooky if you want a recommendation of something that isn't like deep horror or anything gory. You want something maybe campy. It's silly, but there's a zombie. Like that's spooky now.
Right. Saw isn't a spooky movie.
No, not Saw. You wouldn't recommend Saw as spooky.
And we all laugh because spooky sounds like something a child should watch, right?
Yes.
An adult shouldn't watch a spooky movie.
Spooky's not a big genre right now. Like, what's a spooky? I mean, you said Hocus Pocus was spooky.
Yeah.
That's for children, right?
Well, children and adults.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Elvira is probably spooky.
Yes, Elvira is.
Elvira's spooky, but not for children.
Interesting. Like
you
wouldn't show that though. She's ironic spooky.
So I guess you're right about ironic is a part of the spooky word because camp would fall into spooky for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You know, some Twilight Zones were spooky, or is that more eerie? Yeah. I mean, they leave you with a ooh, that's spooky.
I'm gonna go with eerie.
Yeah, it's eerie. That was eerie.
We cut to a nice Beverly Hills restaurant, and I'm just gonna call the waiter over, sweetie. Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yes, may I help you?
Yes. I ordered the veal.
Fine choice.
I've had it here before and enjoyed it, but tonight it's tasting a little. It's tasting a little spooky.
Spooky? Did you say spooky?
A veal. Sweetie, what do you think? I taste it and I just get a little spookiness.
Let me try here. Nom 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 nom.
Your wife is so dainty.
Interesting. I know what you're talking about. Yes, it's like
it's not eerie.
It's not eerie.
No, it's like, not scary.
No, it's not scary at all.
And it's not cilantro.
Kind of fun. It's sort of a fun. It's not cilantro and it's not salt. I think he's right. I think it's this veal is kind of spooky,
but not in a funny way.
Not funny though.
No, spooky is not meant to be funny. It's not a funny.
Sometimes
emotion.
It is.
Listen, let me talk to the chef and see what seasoning she puts into the veal.
Yeah, if she put any kind of
spooky
on it.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I'll call her out right now. Let me get to her. Hold on.
Like subtle darkness, but
yeah,
I don't think spooky is going to do well on my stomach.
No.
She's got a very aggressive seasoning cabinet. So let's see what she's got to say.
And nothing funny at all.
No, nothing funny. No.
Or camp.
Nothing funny. Nothing funny about spooky. I'll tell you that right now. Chef Zafran.
Yes.
Can you please come out here? There has been a question.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I am very busy back here, but I suppose I will take one moment to come over to the table. Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hi.
Yes. Hi. We're big fans of this place. We come here all the time.
This is the chef. They have a question about your veal and the seasoning. They are claiming that it is a bit spooky.
I don't even know if it's the seasoning. Maybe it's the way it was cooked tonight, or even maybe it's cooked on top of a pan that it cooked something else. But just it tastes spooky to my wife and I.
Well, you do know that the way we raise a veal is rather spooky. It's a little cow trapped in a little cage for his entire life until he is slaughtered.
Well, see,
for
I would say that's scary.
Yeah, I would say that's dark and horrible.
That's scary for the veal, for sure. But spooky.
And dark for me to realize before I'm going to eat it.
So you
ordered it once before, so you are no stranger.
That was my question. You have had this veal before, and you're saying
I didn't taste anything that reminded me of the horror genre at all. It just it tasted zesty and juicy in a good way.
And kind of like a thriller, like a fun psychosexual thriller.
Psychosexual thriller. Yeah.
You know, like
but in a good way, not like a hard R.
Like a David Cronenberg movie? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, Cronenberg.
You're saying like a Cronenberg movie? I would say not like a Cronenberg movie.
Because I don't know Cronenberg.
Those are so sexy.
Those are so sexy. Those
like crash.
Autoerotic. There's some physical things going on. Bringers. Let me change your life.
No, I couldn't handle that.
Wait, let me write this down.
I couldn't eat that.
He's very image heavy, as he likes to say.
I love
that. He's very body.
It's like
some body
metal
things.
Oh, right.
He does this. That's right.
No.
Yeah, look at you. You're blushing thinking about it.
Got it.
She's seen a couple of Cronenberg movies, am I right?
No, we don't want to eat that.
I'll just watch that. Thank you.
Start with Scanners and then go for the ride. It's very good.
Oh, Scanners. I had some Scanners like veal in my 20s.
But Chef, what are your thoughts? You know, of course, we defer to your judgment.
Well, I do cook the veal differently every time. I do slap it with different spices. I don't look. I close my eyes. I blindfold. I let the cooking guide me. And I just sprinkle. So
she is an artist.
Beautiful, yeah.
That's right. I do my cooking like art, and the kind of art, you know, where they just put a bunch of paint in a water balloon and then they throw it at the canvas. You know, that kind of paint where people look at it and go, I could have done that, but you didn't. And that is how I do my cooking. And so maybe what you are tasting, perhaps, is just whatever I happen to have thrown on there today. And the fact that you are all talking about it makes it a good meal. So you like it, yes?
That's right.
She makes a lot of great points, hon.
Did I not?
We are talking about it. We'll make a good story at that party we're going to later where they had the shutdown.
I get thrown out every time. I feel like the odds are in my favor. They only throw out five people, and somehow it's always me.
That is not surprising.
Excuse me?
I saw the way you tried the veal, and it was alarming.
What?
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah, there you go. You're demonstrating...
Your wife is very dainty.
Yeah, she's a very dainty girl. And she's...
And well, honey, later at home that night, hey, I want to talk about how you were eating at the...
Sorry, I was dreaming. Oh, sorry, honey.
I'm sorry I always start these relationship conversations when you're asleep.
Oh, you want to... Oh, sorry. Let me just turn on the light. You want to have a conversation about our relationship?
Well, no, it's not that. It's more about just you. But I've just noticed something that I think I can help you with.
Okay.
You know how I used to like cut my toenails in front of you and you pointed out that that's kind of gross and I stopped doing it?
Yeah.
So I had no problem with that, right? You have this way you eat. And you know how the waiter said how dainty.
Yeah. I think, like that.
Well, French people... That they mean the opposite. That's their sense of humor.
French people mean the opposite?
That's their sarcasm. That's their sense of humor. He meant you weren't being dainty. You sound like...
We have been married for 10 years. Why is this just now coming up? You don't like how I eat?
Because I think it's getting louder. And I used to think it was a cute little thing. But as we grow older together, it seems like it's getting louder because no one's pointing it out to you.
Okay,
and that's how much I love you that I can't point it out to you.
Well, I just eat. Okay, here's the thing. I just eat, okay? I'm not thinking about what sounds I'm making, what sounds I'm not making. So I
guess... Maybe that's the problem.
Fine. Fine, Matt. Can I go back to sleep? It's fucking midnight. I'll think about it next time I eat, okay?
Well, maybe dream about it.
Okay, yeah, I'll dream about it.
Dream, okay, I'll dream about it. Quietly.
I'm not in control of what I dream, okay?
We cut to the next time she's at a restaurant and she's with her friend this time.
You look tired. Oh, you all right?
And Matt keeps waking me up to criticize.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Me. I know. He waits until I actually fall asleep and I'm in REM. And then he wakes me up and then he says, points out a flaw that he suddenly can't live with anymore. It's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. That sounds awful.
Your meal, chef's salad and the fish.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you so much.
Undefined. Because we don't know what it is. Can I get you anything else before I disappear for a long time? Any refills on your mimosas?
My mimosas? my mimosas, great. It's great.
Mimosas, fine. Mine's full, so I'm good.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming
by. Well, enjoy your meal, and remember there are people eating around you.
Okay. Of course. Okay. Sure.
Nancy,
what's
I have
happening?
To ask you something. Well,
sure.
I don't know what... This is the first time I've ever seen this waiter, and he seems to somehow know that I do something weird when I eat.
Huh.
But I don't know how he... How
do you
he
think,
knew that.
Do you think the waiters at all the restaurants are gossiping about the way you eat?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't. Not until you just said it.
Well, that's the only thing that came to mind as soon as you thought that there was something going on.
Of course. Well, you have never had a problem with how I eat, right?
No.
Nancy,
we should just dig in. What? No, you're fine.
And okay. Nancy starts to eat her meal. She digs in and eats.
Tom, check out table five.
Oh, we already are, my friend.
Oh man, look at her go.
Okay, well, I guess if you're gonna eat, Nancy, then I'll eat.
Here she goes.
Oh my God, here it goes.
Ow!
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's looking at you. Oh. It's okay. They won't be looking at just you. I'm here, too.
It sounds like a dinosaur.
Those poor forks.
That's right. Oh. Keep staring. Yeah, yeah, my friend is loud when she eats. That's fine.
Thank you, Nancy.
Wake up, honey. Wake up.
Oh, God.
Sweetie, you were dreaming about eating loudly.
Isn't that what you told about, me to dream about?
No, I said dream about eating silently.
Stop waking me up, Matt. You have to stop.
But you were thrashing about, and I could hear you. You woke me up eating loudly in your sleep.
Well, you know what I had a dream about? I had a dream that my friend Nancy stood up for me, and she supported me. And she...
Sweetie, Nancy died 3 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sweetie. Oh, you can eat loud. I know you can't get over Nancy.
I had a dream. You know what? I want a divorce.
What?
I want a divorce.
You can't say that in the middle of the night.
You do. You say all this stuff in the middle of the night.
But that's my thing.
God.
Well, I'm not going to grant it until the morning.
It's just not working.
The next morning. You want some bacon like you like it?
Yeah, thanks.
And eggs like you like it?
Yeah, I'll take both those things like I like it.
Cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe?
Like you like it?
Yeah, Matt, do you remember what we talked about last night?
I don't think we talked about anything last night. I slept soundly all through the night.
No, you woke me up because I was having a dream about eating loudly and you were all mad about it. And then you told me, you reminded me that my friend Nancy's dead.
And then, dreamed that Nancy was dead? That's so dark. Spooky.
Now that, I agree, is spooky.
What is bothering you?
So, do any of you guys watch Handmaid's Tale?
No, I stopped.
Amen, yeah, we're brother.
I watched the first season.
First season, yes. Mm.
Do you ever watch a character on TV and get mad at them because you want them to do something? And you're like, if I was in that situation, I would do that.
Mm.
And sure. You're braver than you are. You're much braver than you think you're braver than you actually would be because you're so angry at how much that character's being a coward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting to me you're saying that about Handmaid's Tale because I have been watching it, maybe not the last episode, but I feel like with that show, I have that sense in me, but because she's going too far or she's doing something that's too stupidly brave or, you know, she's diving right into something and
okay,
like
so
really
Brett, you know exactly the scenario I'm talking about. Her husband, and this isn't a spoiler, this has been an ongoing dynamic of the entire show for 5 seasons. She stayed, in Gilead, where everything's bad, or she was trapped there, but she was a hero there. And fought with the rebellion and did all this stuff to get all these women and their children out. And her husband is meanwhile in Canada, dealing with the court system and finding loopholes and laws to help them. And every episode you're like, oh, you wimp. And she... I am going to do a spoiler. She finally calls him out on it. And it's like, yes.
Good.
But it, I feel like if I was the actor, I would read the sides for the next shoot and go, oh my God, damn it. Can't you guys let me do one brave thing? Can I just let me get shot in the head as I do one brave thing? You guys have me being the biggest wimp on TV right now.
Well, that's the plight of the woman on that show. The women should be more badass in the Handmaid's Tale show.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
In every way. And in a good way. But I'm identifying as a father. That's how I watch it. And he's the father of the show.
He's doing it bad. That guy's on the wrong show.
I don't want to spoil it, but have you watched this last season, Bess, or are you in the middle of this last season?
I'm up to date, my friend.
Okay, because I feel like they've given him almost like a whole other personality this season, where that was true for like up to this season, but then I don't want to spoil, but he is in a bad situation, like finally facing Gilead people. And he's doing bits the whole time. Did you see that part?
He's doing bits?
What's he doing?
Yeah, he's like being like an oddball and joking around a lot. And like he has this like bigger, goofier personality than before.
I don't know where you're at though, man. But she's like, he's like hyperventilating. She's calming him down.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Come on. We just don't have any sympathy for these people anymore. Like, if you're hyperventilated, come on, grow a backbone. We need backbones. We can't have frail people in this day and age. We got to have...
But, Bob, do you watch the father characters, maybe specifically, is what's resonating with me, in shows and get mad because they are the father character in particular?
Well, yeah.
That's not the way you do it, you... Fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad fathers on television. There's, without a doubt, there's no good role models. Nobody going, I'm going to be just like him. Except for Modern Family. My daughter actually watched that, and there was this whole thing about one of the older daughter dating a rebellious guy, and the mother trying not to, you know, act on it, and the father was just going crazy, and it was a very wonderful thing. And my daughter was like, "I bet you'd do that." And I said, "Thank you, my sweet girl."
Oh, that's sweet.
How old is she?
She's now 14.
Wow.
What's up with Modern Family right now? I'm having all sorts of young people come up to me and tell me, because I do an arc, and telling me they're watching Modern Family. And I'm talking about 9-year-olds.
They're streaming. Yeah. Everything is available now. It's like,
but what's up with Modern? I'm not getting out with Parks and Rec or whatever or other stuff I'm on. I'm really getting a Modern Family.
You know what?
And you mentioned it right now, and
it's more human. I think. I mean, as far as the it's more maybe universal, because you know the workplace comedies are great, but if you're a kid, you don't really have a workplace comedy
that's
mentality.
A good point. Mm-hmm.
But everyone has some sort of family in some way or other. I'd imagine that might be part of it. I don't know. I mean, I'm no.
That's a great call, expert. Bob.
You're right.
Every now and again.
What does it? Because a 9-year-old doesn't know anything. Doesn't even care about an office.
Right. And some of the stuff, all of this. And if they do, then they're in trouble because they're already thinking about working for the rest of their
life. Right.
Like, I got it out there, man. Ooh, this house ain't going to pay for itself.
That's right.
Last night, there was a kid, and it was on this street I was on. It was packed like Disneyland. There was just parents, kids, and costumes everywhere. And there was one kid, what made me think of it, in a Santa Claus costume. And he was like doing a bit. And he was like offering loans. He was given specifics of like mortgage loans and interest rates. I could tell no one could hear him but me in the instance that I heard him, because it was just like a din of noise. And he seemed like a 9-year-old boy that was funny. And he had some bit where he was Santa. And
was he offering good rates? What were his rates? I mean, they're extraordinary right now. Yeah,
they're crazy.
7%.
Oh, my God. It's
the highest since 1980, from what
Forget
I
understand.
Forget it. Yeah, you can't buy a house. Everything's got to come crashing down. You just hang on a little bit longer.
But I guess I saw my just flashback to myself, like, you're doing some bit that only you get or care about. You're in your costume, in your own mask, in your own world.
Bit. Self-entertaining? Come on, that's great. That's important for a child. But why Santa? Why was Santa?
I was going to ask, what's the Santa part?
I don't know what his angle was. It was some about being Santa that he was good. Maybe he was one of the Santas that do used car commercials or something. Oh. I had no idea.
One of those
Santas. One of those Santas? There's the mall Santas. There's the used car commercial used car Santas.
Yeah. You don't think during the Christmas season there's the local ads with a Santa hawking cars?
Ho, 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 have you been injured?
Yeah.
Oh, we cut to that commercial shoot. All right, the crew just doesn't quite, Bob, the crew doesn't quite understand your concept of...
It's very clear.
You got a lot of levels going on here. So if you could just, before we start, I know you want to improvise it.
No, it's okay. Let me explain. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hold on, you're speaking low. Guys, can you gather around? Bob's just going to tell us the concept and then we'll all be on the same page.
Everybody come around. I just want everyone to be clear what's going on here. Santa Claus is coming to town to fight cavities. Okay? Mm-hmm. You see what happens? Right. So Santa Claus is going to clean your teeth for a discount because it's the holiday season. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I'm just confused about why Santa is cleaning teeth. Like, yeah.
Is the discount only good on Christmas?
Look, I can't be more clear. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You okay? Always start with that.
Well, because that's the main thing. Because before there was no Santa. Now Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay.
It's the Christmas season. And he's bringing the gift of fluoride treatment. Okay. Mm. At a discount. Right? Mm-hmm. It's very clear. He's going to sit you in the chair. He knows when you've been naughty. He knows when you've been nice. Mm-hmm. He knows when you ain't been flossing.
See, if you like actually like made naughty getting cavities, I think that it would just really lock in the concept. Can you do that at least?
I see. So do you want to write this spot?
We're just trying to find the link between tooth care and Santa so we can all get on board.
You remind me a lot of my ex-wife, okay? Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to say it. She didn't believe me either. She didn't know what I was talking about half the time. Okay. And half the time I was talking right at her. At her, I must say. Okay. At her.
A lot of us worked with Nancy too, so with all due respect.
No, I understand. You got a really great system going. I just want to say that I don't expect you to understand. You know, geniuses, you know, nobody understood Einstein for a long time, right? And I'm putting myself on Einstein's level because that's how I think of myself. And I think it's important that you... I think it's part you believe in yourself, number one, first and foremost.
Okay, but can you just tell us what, just, let's just run it, you know? Maybe we'll see it if in action. So guys, let's just do a take.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
All right, rolling sound.
We don't need makeup yet. This is just a practice take.
Can I just a little bit?
Oh my God, I just said no makeup.
Just a little bit. Okay.
I've been rolling sound and it's really loud, guys, when you cough. Cover your mics when you cough.
I can't breathe. All right.
No shine.
We don't need the smoke machine now.
Thanks. You look great. No shine.
Santa with no shine. Santa needs a shine. He's a jolly old... Never mind.
It doesn't matter. Okay, let's do it. And action.
Whoa! Oh, ho, ho! Hello, children. Do you want your teeth cleaned? Well, of course you do. It's Christmas season and Santa Claus is coming to town. Come on down to McCarthy's DDS to get yourself a fluoride treatment for half price. And under the tree, you might just find some Insuline, Invisalign. Can we take this one for the time? I got something.
I have a question. Is this just for children? Because you directly say hello, children. And that's so right. Do you want this to appeal to like all ages or like, because Santa...
Yeah, look, my goal is to get the children to go bother their parents, okay? We're going in that
way. You bought this on TNT during the Saw Marathon, though, the ad run.
I know. It was the cheapest I could get. Look, my business, this is my last chance, guys. This is my last chance. Nobody's coming to McCarthy DDS. Nobody. All right? Right now, I'm sitting in a room. I had to fire my dental hygienist. All right. I'm sitting there doing cavity fills on myself. I'm giving myself cavities just so I could claim a write-off on the material.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
This commercial is costing me a fortune. And all I got is people second-guessing my work.
We're just trying to help you make it better, help you make it sense, help you make it something, because you're pitching Invisalign under the tree as if the children are going to purchase it for their parents as a gift because this commercial is targeted toward the kids. Is that what that was?
I don't know that kids even know what Invisalign is or need it, right?
Right.
Maybe you should just have Santa explain what Invisalign. That'll take a good 30 seconds.
You have money to pay for more longer ad space, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I just got to tell you guys, this is it. This is it for me. I mean, after this, I'm closing up McCarthy DDS. And I'm just going to go live in the desert.
Well, what if the ad works? What if
the ad works? You want me to believe in myself now? After I've been second guessed and harangued?
I did not harangue.
You're all haranguing. You remind me of my ex-wife. You know that?
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm gonna start you calling all you Britneys. Because that's who you remind me of. Every time I look at you, your beady little eyes. You just reminded me of my ex-wife. And I gotta tell you one thing about my ex-wife. She was not kind. She was not kind. So think about that when you go home and sleep tonight and you have your dreams. You're not kind people. I hope you have mean dreams.
Wake up, honey. Wake up. Mary, wake up.
Oh, my God.
You were...
Oh, my God.
Dreaming about, I think, someone that you worked for's ex-wife.
Well, do you want me to tell you or do you just want to guess?
You were being really specific.
It's weird because in the dream, the man wished that we had mean dreams, you know?
Oh.
Does that make sense? Like he was like comparing us to his ex-wife who was not kind. And then he said, I hope you all go home and have mean dreams.
Oh, that's so mean. Aren't you lucky that you have a nice husband like me, not a big meanie?
I wish you would stop waking me up. Just let me dream. Okay? Stop waking me up or I'm not going to sleep in this bed.
And suddenly it's the next morning. She wakes up and she looks that space where her husband should be and he's not there.
Matt?
There's just a sunbeam on the blankets.
Just a sunbeam.
A picture of Matt's funeral is on the end stand.
I love
this. There's tons of pictures. Tons of photos of the funeral over the place.
I forgot that I framed all these and put them on the walls as if I'd ever forget.
Cut to Matt's funeral. Okay, so what I understand is you want me to take photographs of all the mourning people? You want this to be like an event?
Yeah, I want it to be like, treat it like a wedding. I know it's not.
Okay.
But treat it like a wedding. Get a lot of candid mourning moments.
Gotcha. And seeing humans, this has been like a wedding. And let's say this is Thanksgiving. Tell your family how thankful you are for them. And also plug Improv for Humans. Stick that in the compliment to your family. And maybe even the prayers. oh, around yeah. the table.
Oh, it slips right into a prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
squeeze it right in there.
Thankful for the free content on Stitcher, SiriusXM, Spotify. Why not go rate us, Brett, on this Thanksgiving and give us thankful ratings and good reviews? This would be the perfect of time of year. And why not go visit these three comedians on their social media and compliment them and find out about what they're doing? Bob, where can we find your weird ass?
You can check out a weird ass improv for sporadic notices.
Perfect.
Nice.
Mia, where do we find out what you're doing?
At Child Clown on Instagram for my sporadic notices.
Love sporadic. Mary, who wants constant?
Oh my gosh, you're not going to get it with me. Mine's sporadic. And my handle on Instagram is at Mary Hollandaise, like spelled just like the sauce.
That's perfect.
Isn't it perfect?
And Brett, you know, I like to send people to mattbester.com, my website, for all this Maddie B content they can find and information about possible shows I'm doing. I know we're going to be at Sketchfest again this year, Improv for Humans. I was just looking at a possible lineup. We're even thinking about doing a music show out there, Brett. Possibly.
Really?
Possibly.
Very cool.
I won't say which band I threw out as a possibility. Didn't throw them out of a conversation.
They didn't get removed from a party from being judged non-interested, did they?
If anyone wants to record on Thanksgiving around the dinner table, have a conversation start, record this, and then shut it down. Oh. We will play it on the show. shut down. But keep being human.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production, produced by Britt Morris, Amelia Chapelo, and Anita Flores, engineered by Britt Morris. Music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive, ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.